Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now with humble hearts, very thankful for this day that you've blessed us with, the beauty of it. We thank you for the safety of us traveling here and to be able to come together to look into a portion of your word and concepts that we can apply from your your word to our lives. And we're praying that we're able to do this successfully in ways and however we might be able to improve our spiritual life and our and the reach of our Christ-like light. We pray that be with the one bringing the invitation this evening, that they have a ready remembrance of their thoughts, and that we're able to listen with open hearts and always look back to your word for what is truth and what is right. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Years ago when Neil was here, we all worked on memorizing several passages of Scripture lot of them, as a matter of fact. Joe and Nancy are here tonight. Joe remembers that, doing that with me for sure. And we were doing that. Beth, I'm sure, would remember it too. We got quite a few of them memorized. This was one of them. It was really powerful, and I can actually still quote it, and I've used it many times. But let's think about chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verses 7 through 10. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day." There's a real interesting juxtaposition, I think, put together when we read this passage and think of the wording that's so strong about the judgment that is to come. But you'd see flaming fire and taking vengeance, like we just talked about in class. And that is the Lord's. And Jesus has every right to do that, because he's going to take vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey the gospel that he has delivered. The good news was not believed. It was thought of as bad news, and it was not adhered and obeyed. But notice how he begins and ends this passage. The context of this passage is, "You are troubled by those who would reject my word and treat you poorly. Rest with us. Rest with us." When Jesus comes in judgment, in fiery vengeance on those who are disobedient, those who are obedient, who have believed the gospel that Paul taught and that he says here in Thessalonica had believed, they could take rest. Because what Jesus really came for is in verse 10. He's coming for the purpose of being glorified in his saints and being admired in all them who believe, that this one who they believe in has revealed himself now to the fullest, and that judgment is rendered in a grand and glorious way, but to his glory. And his saints recognize that. And so they can take rest in this judgment. It is not a fearful thing for them when the judgment comes, because they believe the gospel, they obey the commandments of God, and are faithful to Jesus. So they can rest even in the great judgment that was coming. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer talks about this rest that God has for his people. At the end of chapter 3, he was making the point that those in the old time, when they left Egypt, they tested God and they tempted him. And God let them wander in the wilderness until that generation would die. And he wouldn't let them enter into the land of Canaan. And it was described in prophecy and at the time of this was a place of rest for them to come out of the bondage of Egypt. And God wanted to deliver them into the promised land where milk and honey flowed, and that they would rest from their labors. And he says, but that generation that God was displeased with was not allowed to enter into his rest, chapter 3 and verse 18. And so he picks up in chapter 4 of making the application of that principle to those in the New Covenant, the time of the New Testament, when the gospel was being preached, and that there was a rest that was still to come because there were those that had not finished it and taken care of it, and God was preserving that idea of rest to come. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it," meaning in comparison to those that had come short of it before, because they were denied that rest. And there is a rest for those, for us, and it's promised to us. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest," meaning it was conditional and they had not met the condition, so they didn't enter into his rest. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, all preparation was made and the leadership was given to bring mankind to this rest." Verse 4. "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." And so the intention was that after all of creation, God exhibited the rest, the cessation of labor and work. And he demonstrated that in a whole day of quote-unquote creation that was given to resting after the labor was done. In verse 5, he says, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest," meaning again, they didn't meet the conditions, so they did not enter into rest. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must there enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached it entered not in because of unbelief," the children of Israel in the wilderness. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to in David, many years later, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." For if Jesus, and the King James says Jesus, but that's just the New Testament version of Joshua, and he was talking about the days of Joshua, when they people of the next generation did finally go into the land. Verse 8, "For if Joshua," Jesus, "had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So just as God exhibited the idea of rest that would follow the great works of God, and then he offered that rest to the children of Israel, and they did not take it, they did not enter in, then he preserved that rest to be delivered in a message partially through David, fulfilled in Jesus, that would even the children of Israel who did go into the land of Canaan then were incomplete, and they didn't fulfill it, and God preserved a rest for those who would hear Jesus and obey his commands. So there remained, verse 9, a rest to the people of God. And those who have ceased from their own works, God gives that rest. If we cease from doing our own works of trying to earn our salvation, and we do the works of Christ that are done and accomplished and finished, then that rest is for us. But he still is making the connection, isn't he? That rest is for the faithful, and that rest is found in judgment. When God judges, and he judges all mankind and always has because he's the creator and can do so, those who have kept his commandments are judged and found to be able to go into rest. So even in judgment, there is rest. Turn with me to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Of course, the whole book is about judgment, right? Revelation 14, verses 12 through 16. Revelation 14, 12 through 16. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So we've got people who are keeping the commandments of God and keeping the faith of Jesus. What do you think is coming? What do you think they got for them? "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And then the judgment came, and the world was reaped at that point with the sickle." And I point that out to you, that God was promising rest to those who had ceased from their labors, that they could cease now, and their good works that they had done would follow them. Their works being keeping the commandments of God and keeping the faith of Jesus. And then when that judgment struck out to cleanse the world, where are the righteous? Resting. Resting. Not worrying and anxious and trying to figure out which side they're on at the last minute. Did I make it across the line? No, they're resting in the works that they've done, keeping the commandments of God, keeping the faith of Jesus. Jesus said all of this himself, and this will be our last passage to look at. Would you turn with me to John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and beginning in verse 24. Jesus says himself, "Verily, verily," most importantly, emphasized it twice, important, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So you see that Jesus actually promised this up front. These other passages that we've read that Paul talked about, the Hebrew writer said, that John wrote about in the Revelation. These things have already been said by Jesus during his earthly ministry, and that groundwork was laid. That the hour was coming when judgment was coming, but that the dead, the spiritually dead, would hear the voice of Jesus and find life, be resurrected in Jesus Christ. And they would hear his word and live. And as the Father has life in himself, he is the creator, he is the provider of all things, he gave to Jesus life within himself, that as he executed judgment, that he would share that life with those who would be obedient. Now that vengeance would go out and it would destroy those who do not keep the commandments of God, who do not obey the gospel of Christ that was preached to them. But those dead who hear his voice are made alive and given rest and peace with God. The Ephesian letter talks about the enmity that was broken down. There was no more war. There's no more animosity. There's peace and rest. And we find this peace and rest being offered in these passages about judgment. And so I bring that up tonight for us to think about the idea that judgment is not something for us to fear. If we keep the commandments of God and we keep the faith of Jesus Christ, we are obedient to the gospel that has been preached to us and that we have heard, then judgment is not something to fear. It is the opportunity when we will gather together in the greatest peace and find the rest that the Lord has for us. And the works that we've done, not works of to be saved, but the works of salvation that Jesus has given us to do, to follow his will and to be under his command, then those works will follow us, that we were hearers of the word, that we did believe in Jesus, that we did repent of our sins, and we confessed that he is the king and the ruler of our lives. And then we were baptized to be in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, raised up to walk in newness of life, to be called his own, to be called no longer my name and your name and people out in the world, but to be called Christian, Christ-like in him. Then we have the rest and the peace that God has afforded us. And he does that. He offers that through judgment. Judgment against sin, but for those who are obedient, that sin is washed away, it is cleansed, and we are given peace and rest. To those who resist, who obey not the gospel of Christ as it was delivered, who are disobedient to God, will be destroyed. But those that are faithful will be able to take rest even in that great judgment to come. If you're looking for that peace and that rest in your life, then this is an opportunity for you to lay out your sins before the Lord and follow the good works that he said to do, which are to repent of our sins, to confess our sins to one another so that they can be unburdened from us and forgiven by God. And the best way to do that is to be held accountable by your brethren, to be able to show you how we can pray for you and support you and encourage you in the same sins that we've committed ourselves. But know that God is, as we pray for you and as you pray for you and for us, that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed, and that we can be at peace and rest again in Christ. If you're subject to that invitation and that appeals to you to want to make correction in your life and make a commitment to him or a recommitment, please let that be known by coming forward and as we stand and sing to encourage you.
Oh, my sanity, 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 my sanity Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for taking care of us and helping us to be able to be here. We ask if you'll please take care of those that are sick and ailing, and we thank you so much that you, the people such as Brother Dave Christie and the Oglesbys and other people here in the congregation that also have various ailments, that you've been taking care of us and having other people take care of us, that things are going better, and we pray that you can continue doing so. We'd like to ask your Father that if you can take care of, to guide the people of this nation and other nations, help things to be good for Christians wherever they live and people that are trying to be Christians. Be with the people that are in different military situations. Keep them safe. Be able to come home to their loved ones. We ask your Father that you watch over and protect us now as we go to our homes and to our places. Help us to have safe travel. And through your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.